Father, we thank you for your word that is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Holy Spirit, you're the teacher. We need you. We need you to open us up and give us understanding today. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. We know you're here because you abide in us, but we want you to know that we welcome you as the teacher. Please give us fresh insight and revelation. Even as we open this word and share it, speak to every heart in this room, Father. Show us the new. Show us what we didn't see before, Lord. And as you reveal and give us revelation of your word, Father, if you reveal your word, then you give us the power to obey it. So we thank you now, Father, not just for the revelation, but for the power to obey what you reveal to us. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to speak to you today about eyes to see the double portion. Eyes to see the double portion. The double portion is all around us. The extra is all around us. I'm going to prove this to you in the scripture. You have to be a good student of God's word. There's always more than what's on the surface. You have to be willing to dig a little deeper. When you dig a little deeper by getting a Strong's Concordance, or those of you who are have those savvy phones that can go look up word studies on your phone or your computer, that's fine, that's great. I still use the book, the Strong's Concordance. Yes, I do. It's true. So, but you got to be a student. You got to dig a little deeper to find some things in God's Word, because there's always more than what's on the surface. There's more to you than what I see with my eyes, and there's more to me than what you see with your eyes. Right?
Yes.
The real you is on the inside.
Yes.
Well, you know, there's treasures hidden in God's Word. And you just can't find them on the surface. You got to dig and go deep and ask Holy Spirit to help you go deep into the Word. Well, today the Lord showed me some things, and even this week, earlier this week, and I wrote them down. And I'm so glad when I do that, because sometimes just life has a way of causing you the things that were fresh one time in you not to be fresh anymore. Mm-hmm. So I wrote them down. When I went back to him, I was like, Lord, yeah, there it is. There it is. That's the word. That's what you shared with me. That's what you. And then he began to feed me today, this morning. So I want to share that with you. So let's get right on into it. Let's go to Isaiah 61:7. There is a double portion for God's people. A double portion is not two times more. A double portion is more than enough.
Yeah.
It's an overflow. Mm-hmm. When the word talks about a double portion, it just doesn't meet what you need. It goes beyond what you need.
Mm-hmm.
So that you can help, not that you can hoard it up, but that you can help someone else. Is that right?
Yes, ma'am.
Because when we help someone else and we're generous to someone else, the word of God tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, starting around verse 7, which we're going to go there. Hopefully we'll get that far today. But it tells us when we're generous to other people that it causes them to give thanks to God on our behalf. And also when you're generous to other people, the Word of God says they will remember you when they call out to God, that they will mention your name to God. They will mention your generosity to God. When you are generous to them, when they are praying and talking to the Lord, they will remember your generosity. Your name will be mentioned to God. That's beautiful. That is beautiful. That's the most beautiful, you know, that's the most beautiful thing anyone could ever say about us, is that when I was praying, I reminded God
about you.
That's the most beautiful thing anyone. What God promises, when we give like that, when we have a heart to give like that in all areas of our life, wherever God is increased. Wherever God has increased you in all areas, wherever he's increased you. But anyway, let's get into Isaiah 61:7. We're going to talk about the double portion and how important it is for our eyes to be open to see it. It's all around us. The double portion is around us. And I believe the Lord showed me three keys today to help release the double portion in our life. Okay? Let's start with Isaiah 61. This is a prophecy that the Lord gave Isaiah. And Jesus ended up prophesying himself about this in Luke chapter 4. Jesus said this about himself. Verses 1 through 2, Jesus said this in Luke chapter 4, 18 through 19. Now, I don't know if you have that footnote in your Bible, but I want to mention it to you. That footnote's right here in my Bible. See, that was a prophecy Isaiah gave about Jesus. And I'm going to make a bold statement here that's probably going to make, I don't think it'd make anybody in this room mad, but it would make some religious people mad. God never intended for people to be poor. God never intended for those that were born again and have come into covenant with Him to have lack. God never. Okay, let's read it. Let's read it. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me. This is Jesus. Isaiah's prophesying about Jesus. This is what Jesus says that is the anointing on Him. Okay? To bring good news to the poor. What's good news to the poor? You don't have to be poor anymore. That's the good news to the poor.
Yes. Amen.
In Christ Jesus, you have enough and more than enough. Okay, now I'm probably going to be all over the place with this, so I'm going to try to stay calm a little bit. I'm calm a little bit. But I'm going to go ahead and throw these verses out to you because I feel like I should now. Mark chapter 6, verse 42. We already talked about this, but it's worth mentioning again. Mark chapter 6, verse 42. That is the account of Jesus feeding the 5,000 plus women, men, and children, more than 5,000, okay? With 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. And Father, forgive me this morning because I failed. Father, as we have given to you today, as we have honored you in our obedience of first fruits, tithe, and our offerings, Lord, Father, we make a spiritual transfer. Father, we transfer this out of our hands by lifting it up to you in gratitude and thankfulness for your blessings, Lord God. And we ask you to transfer it from this earthly kingdom to the spiritual kingdom, Father God. To transfer it into heaven, Father, where it be multiplied and distributed and used for your glory and your honor. Father, we do a spiritual transfer of what we have given you to you today and multiply it, God. Like you did the fish, the 2 fish and the bread. Multiply it, God. Multiply it, God. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Okay, now I'm going to give you another scripture reference, which is John 6, 11 through 12. People are conditioned in this world, and once again, let me stop, because I always like to give credit where credit is due. I've listened to a teaching by Gary Cassay. Okay.
Cassay.
But, so I want to give credit that I have listened to that, but the Lord has given me my portion out of this.
Amen.
Okay? The Lord has given me my portion. There's nothing new under the sun. Okay? The Lord has given me my portion, but I want to give credit to where credit is due. We were born with this mentality because of the curse of the fall. We've been redeemed from the curse of the law. Because curse is a man who hangs on the tree. And Jesus shed his blood for us so we could be redeemed from the curse of the law. But we still live under the curse of the fall. The curse of the fall is sickness, disease, infirmity. Things that come into the world through Adam's disobedience. Part of that is people's mentality. Why you have to keep your mind renewed by the word of God. Because the mentality you were born with is the harder I work, the more I get blessed. Well, ain't nobody working hard that day when God multiplied the 2 fish and the 5 loaves of bread. Okay? But the mentality of the disciples were, where are we going to get all this food from? How are we going to do this? How are we going to feed all this? It would take a year's worth of wages to feed these people.
Right.
Amen?
It still wouldn't be enough.
It wouldn't be enough. But Jesus.
But Jesus.
Transferred it. He said, what do you have? Start being obedient with what you have. With what you, if God can't trust us now, and what we have by looking out for one another and caring for one another, how can He trust us with the more? It's a test.
That's right.
Amen.
If you can't trust us with this, how can you trust us with more? You understand?
With the little stuff.
Okay. So, Well, we're going to get all this from. It's still that same mentality. I got to make it happen. I got to work. No, you shouldn't be slothful. You shouldn't be lazy. God said if a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. Now, I believe that. But the difference is your mentality. You don't have, you know, the blessing of the Lord maketh one rich and adds no sorrow to it. You need God's blessing on your life on what you do by doing it right unto God and by honoring God with the increase. Mm. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That's how you get blessed by God. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. Okay, so God, how are we going to feed all these people? The Lord says, what do you have? What do you have? So they went and got what they had. They put it in Jesus' hands. So what did he do?
Multiply.
He looked up to God and he gave thanks. And he gazed into heaven. I told you before what that word gaze means. It means to look at something wide open eyes at something truly remarkable. It wasn't it's the opposite of a casual glance. We need to gaze into how great God is this week. Yes. We need to fix our eyes on the greatness of God. You need to sit down and remember all the great things God has done for you. Yes. I could start recounting them to you right now in my personal life. You could recount them to me in your personal life, how good God is. Are you still good? Are you breathing? God's been good to you.
Yes.
You know what God delivered? You know the messes you were in, the places you were in before you served God, that God, the devil could have taken your life out right then?
Yes, yes.
And you wouldn't have had a chance to make peace with God? God's been good to you.
Yes.
God's been good to me.
Yes, he has.
So he lifted up to heaven, put it in his hands. It's what we call a spiritual or supernatural transfer.
Yes.
This was what was in the earth.
Mm.
What do you have? What do you have? Mm. That day it represented the two fish and the five loaves, so that's what they had.
Mm.
He lifted up to God, and he did a supernatural transfer. He did a spiritual transfer. He transferred it from an earthly kingdom of what I've got. That's what happens when I honor God with my life in every area of my life, in every area. I do a spiritual transfer. You know what a transfer is, don't you? You put it from one place to the next.
Yes.
So he lifted his hands up to God. He had it in his hands. He gazed into heaven with wide open eyes because he knew what the Father was about to do.
Mm.
He saw what God was going to do.
Mm.
He saw it. Okay? And what he saw, what you see, you can carry out and you can perform. That's a good preaching, Holy Ghost. That is good preaching, Holy Ghost. What you see, you can do. But if you don't see it, you'll never be able to do it.
Amen.
You've got to see it first. You've got to have your spiritual eyes open. You've got to see yourself doing it. Jesus said, Jesus didn't fear the devil. He said, I saw him. I saw him like lightning falling from heaven. No one need to say, get thee behind me. I rebuke you, Satan. Man does not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You shall worship only the Lord your God. Because he already saw him fall from heaven.
Yes.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
Okay, so he made that transfer. He put it in his hands and he transferred to heaven. He gave thanks to God for what he already had. Give thanks to God for what you already got. And then make a transfer. God, I transfer this. Through my obedience, God, I transfer it from the earthly realm to the heavenly realm by giving it to you, God. And I ask you to put your supernatural upon my natural. That's what God's doing in this body. He's putting his supernatural upon our natural. When we are obedient to him in every area of our life, our relationships, what comes out of our mouth, how we treat people, honest integrity, how we walk in this world, how we love justice, how we love mercy, how we honor God, financially, every area of our life, how we spend our money wisely unto God, how we give to the poor, that we are making a spiritual transfer from earth to heaven, and God is putting his supernatural upon it. He's blessing it. He's bringing increase. Amen. He's bringing increase. Okay, so let's go back to just feeding the 5,000. Let's go back to that, okay? So God had to tell them, the Lord had to tell them, John records, that the Lord had to tell them after they ate and they were satisfied, the Lord had to tell them, go pick up the remains. God had to tell them, Jesus had to tell them, go get the 12 baskets.
Right.
It just kind of implies they were just going to leave it there. Because Jesus said nothing is to be wasted.
Right.
Nothing is to be wasted. Mm-hmm. See, that's the mentality. Mm-hmm. I just get satisfied. I don't look for the overflow. Mm-hmm. We cannot just live in a place I'm just satisfied. I'm happy. It's me and mine and my own little thing right here, and I'm okay. No, I have to live in the overflow because I was made by God to be a blessing to someone else. If I don't have the overflow, I can't be a blessing to somebody else. God said, in blessing you, I have blessed others.
Yes, Father God.
Is that right?
Yes, amen.
And when we give and we bless others, we're like our Father. Jesus said, you want to be like your Father?
Yes,
you want to be like your Father in heaven?
Lord, yes,
then
Lord.
You give to those that can't pay you back.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
You want to be like your Father? When you have a feast or a celebration, invite people to your house that nobody else would ever invite to their house. Then you will be like your Heavenly Father because you will do things for others that can never, ever repay you back.
Yes.
But your Father in heaven will repay you.
Amen.
Your Father in heaven who sees. Because what you do in secret, your Father will reward you for in open.
Amen.
And that's just not talking about your prayer closet either.
Amen.
That's why he said, don't sound your trumpet. That's your praise. When you go around sounding your trumpet, what you did, that's your praise. That's your glory. That's your honor.
Amen.
Do it in secret unto God. And that's your reward. Yeah. You have the reward. I don't want the reward of man. I don't want the praise of man. I'll say like Jesus said. Jesus said, I don't have any need for any man to testify about himself to me because I already know what's in you.
Jesus.
I already know what's in you. So you don't have to come testifying to me. I tell the Lord, Lord, I'm not going to tell you I'm going to do so and so. I said, Lord, with your help, I want to.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to say, God, you know, God, I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that. I'm going to say, no, God, you know I want to. I've learned like Peter said, Lord, you know all things. Lord, you know all. You know I want to, God.
Yes.
You know I want to love you. You know I want to serve you. You know I want to do
this. Yes, Jesus.
Help my unbelief.
Miss Kathy,
okay.
Can I share something real quick?
Yes, ma'am.
You know I work with, I'm a home visitor.
Mm-hmm.
And I have done things that if my job finds out, I probably could get fired.
But you won't.
And I was asked, we had this thing going on, but I was asked, why do you do it? And I said, that's my purpose. But just the other day, I had a mom. She had a C-section scheduled. And she says, I don't know what I'm going to do with my kids.
Mm.
I don't know. You know, she has a 5-year-old and a 2-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
And I just had the urge. I just
had the unction from the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, bring them to me. I'll watch them.
Mm-hmm.
And it happened that it was on the 28th. You know, I was out of work. You know, I was on my vacation.
Mm-hmm.
And because the lady that could watch them, she sells food.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of combined ourselves together. And I said, bring them to me. I'll watch your babies well. And it's just, I said, Lord, you know, and I chuckled and I said, well, for, you know, because they were saying at work how we have to put boundaries and all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they started asking questions and I could have sat down and not, and kind of lied, but I said no, because they were saying, well, if your family have your own personal number, raise your hand, and I raised my hand.
Tell the truth.
The truth. Are you Facebook friends with some families? Raise your hand. I raised my hand. But I say to them, how do you expect I go into these families' houses, I'm with them for an hour and a half.
Mm-hmm.
You build a relationship.
Yeah.
Another thing, do you go to their, if you're invited to their birthday parties, raise your hand. But I say, I say, that's my weekend. That's my personal business. And I said, how can I build a relationship with these families?
Mm-hmm.
And when they see you come.
Mm-hmm.
You have these little kids. Mrs. Espinosa's here. Mrs. Espinosa's here.
Wow.
And that when they invite you somewhere, I'm supposed to say no.
Mm-hmm.
I said, that doesn't make.
Mm-mm.
And then when they ask me, well, why do you do it? I said, that's my purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And then the same lady that was asking all these questions, when she was ready to leave, she looked at me And she says, thank you for what you do.
Wow.
And I knew right then and there, I said, this is nobody but God.
Mm-hmm.
But the one of my families that she was going to have her baby, she was like, Miss Espinosa, I don't know what to do. I can't take my kids. And I said, bring them to my house. I'll watch them. I watch them.
And that causes people to mention your name when they pray to God.
Yeah.
They remember your generosity. Mm-hmm. That reminds me, I'm going to cut this off. That reminds me of what Oswald Chambers says, what the love of God will cause you to do.
Yeah.
The love of God will cause you to, will put you in a place, will cause you, you look back and think, why did I volunteer to do that? Why did I say I would do that? But you're following, you're listening to the love of God.
Mm.
And at that moment, you know it's what the Lord wants you to do. But your flesh will say, you did what?
Yeah.
You volunteered for, but that's what the love of God will cause you to do. The love of God will cause you to do things that you normally on your own would not volunteer for.
Ma'am.
That's the love of God. Amen. So let's get to Isaiah 61:7. We need eyes to see. But, you know, before we get there, thank you, Lord. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 3. We need eyes to see the double. The disciples that day did not see the blessing. Jesus had to point it out. Go get those 12 baskets. Jesus had to point it out that there was, he wasn't there just to satisfy. It was enough. He fed 5,000 plus people. But there was more left over besides that. Do you see? God just didn't double the food. Do you understand that, right? Of course he didn't. When Peter and John, and James and John were out fishing, Peter and his brother Andrew, Peter and his brother had fished all night. I think that's your scripture reference in Mark 6:42, I believe. But anyway, Peter and Andrew had fished all night and caught nothing. Jesus said, "Launch out into the deep," and they had to call James and John over to help them to bring in the haul and the mess of fish. Well, you've said it before. They could have probably called in another boat to get it too.
Mm-hmm.
Because the fish kept on coming.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you're willing to fish, you're going to get fish.
Amen.
That's just logical. When you stop fishing, you're not going to catch any fish. But as long as you're willing to fish, you're going to get fish.
Yes.
Okay, that'll sink into somebody later. Revelation. I was trying to be more. I'm not talking about just natural fish. Hallelujah. Okay.
I got it.
Revelation chapter 3. Hallelujah. Okay, so we need eyes to see. The disciples didn't see that day. They did not see the overflow. They were satisfied and they were willing to, but Jesus had to point out, there's the 12 baskets. Go pick them up. That nothing be wasted. So this scripture reference I'm about to give you is to show us, actually I need to read it from the Passion Translation, thank you Lord, is showing us that we need eyes to see. Now if this doesn't make it plain, then
your plainer's gone.
Yeah, and Jesus is speaking to the church. He's not speaking to sinners, he's speaking to the church when he says this. Revelation chapter 3 verse 18, then I promise we're going to get into Isaiah. Revelation chapter 3, verse 18. He's speaking to the churches here. Okay? I love this, the Passion Translation. This is so good. Okay. I'm not going to read all of it, but I'm going to start at verse... Let's see, where shall I start? Verse 17. For you claim I'm rich and getting richer. I don't need a thing. Yet you are clueless that you are miserable, poor, blind, barren, and naked. Focus on the word blind. So I counsel you to buy gold perfected by fire so that you can truly be rich. Purchase a white garment to cover and clothe your shameful Adam nakedness. Purchase eye salve to be placed on your eyes so that you can truly see. All those I dearly love, I unmask and train. All those I dearly love, I unmask and train. You know what, Lord? I want the eye salve. Lord, I need this eye salve you're talking about. God, I need this eye salve on my eyes so I can see. I can truly see what you are doing. Because, God, I want every mask in my life to be taken off and I want to be trained by you. So repent and be eager to pursue what is right. Behold, I am standing at the door knocking. If your heart is open to hear my voice and you open the door within, I will come into you and feast with you, and you will feast with me.
Bless you.
We need the ISAV. We need to ask God for the ISAV, all of us, to be applied to our eyes. All of us. There are things you haven't seen yet, saints. We need ISAV applied. Okay, Isaiah 61:7. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. You're not supposed to be poor. He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted. You don't have to stay brokenhearted. Woo! To proclaim that captives will be released and prisoners will be freed. He has sent me to tell those who mourn that the time of the Lord's favor has come. Glory to God. And with it, the day of God's anger against their enemies. Yes. When God's favor comes on you, He rises up His anger against your enemies. Hallelujah. Well, that's good news to me. Maybe nobody in your head has any enemies. That's good news to me. I didn't have enemies because I chose to make them, but I know I have enemies. Yeah. You better open your eyes. Amen. The righteous have enemies.
Yes.
The righteous have enemies, saints.
Yes.
And God's promise here, my anger is going to come against your enemies. My favor is going to rouse my anger against your enemies. Yes. Isaiah, he said, Lord, contend with those that contend with my children and bring them into safety and ease. Contend with those that contend with my children and bring them into safety and bring them in ease. To all who mourn in Israel, I will give them a crown of beautiful ashes, a joyous blessing instead of mourning, festive praise instead of despair. In their righteousness, they will be like great oaks that the Lord has planted for His own glory. They will rebuild the ancient ruins, repairing cities destroyed long ago. They will revive them, though they have been deserted for many generations. Foreigners will be your servants. They will feed your flocks and plow your fields and tend your vineyards. You will be called priests of the Lord, ministers of our God. You will feed on the treasures of the nations and boast in their riches. Instead of shame and dishonor, you will receive a double share of honor. You will possess a double portion of prosperity in your land. Where's your land? That's where you live. That's where you walk. That's where God's given you dominion. That's your land. And everlasting joy will be yours. I'm going to come back to verse 7. For I, the Lord, love justice. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. I will faithfully reward my people for their suffering. That didn't mean He brought it on them, but He says, I'll reward you because you endured. Is that right?
Yes.
And make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants will be recognized and honored among the nations. Everyone will realize that they are a people the Lord has blessed. Everyone will realize, those who has a covenant with God and walk in covenant with God, everyone will realize that the Lord has blessed you. I am overwhelmed with the joy. I am overwhelmed with joy in the Lord my God, for He has dressed me with the clothing of salvation, and He has draped me in a robe of righteousness. I am like a bridegroom in his wedding suit, or a bride with her jewels. The Sovereign Lord will show His justice to the nations of the world. Let everyone will praise Him. His righteousness will be like a garden in early spring, and with plants springing up everywhere. Okay, let's go back to verse 7. Let's focus on this double portion for a moment. And then I want to share with you three keys that I believe the Lord showed me to be able to recognize the double portion. Okay? And before we talk about this verse 7, I'm going to bait you for something next week that you don't want to miss, okay? 2 Corinthians verse 9, 7 through 8. Well, let me go ahead there. You know, that's why it always takes me longer to accomplish something, because I always go off somewhere else. But I need to go off there for a moment, just very briefly. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, then I promise we'll go back to Isaiah 61. Come on, you got it? You looking for it? This is a Passion translation. I'm going to read it from you for you there. Look what God. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Just a little bit there. Just a little bit there. Just a little bit there. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Hilarious generosity. Hilarious generosity. Okay? Starting in verse 6. Here's my point. A stingy sower will reap a meager harvest, but the one who sows from a generous spirit will reap abundant harvest. Let giving flow from your heart, not from a sense of religious duty. Let it spring up freely from the joy of giving, all because God loves hilarious generosity. God loves hilarious generosity. Yes, God is more than ready to overwhelm you. To overwhelm you with every form of grace so that you will have more than enough. This is what I'm talking about, the overflow. This is what I'm talking about, the double portion. The double portion is just not two times more. It's more than enough. It's the overflow. Yes, God is more than ready. God is more than ready to overwhelm you with every form of grace so that you will have more than enough of everything. More than enough of everything. More than enough of everything. Every moment in every way. Every moment in every way. He will make you overflow with abundance in every good thing you do. Just as the scriptures say about the one who trusts in him. Because he has sown extravagantly and given to the poor, his kindness and generous deeds will never be forgotten. Okay, I could go on and on with that, but I'm not. So I'm going to bait you for next week real quick. Seven things, we know the seven things that God hates, right? Six things are an abomination. Six things God hates, the book of Proverbs says, and the seventh thing is an abomination. But do you know that there are seven things that God loves? I'm not going to tell you what they are. You're going to have to come next week to find out. There are seven things that God loves that cause God, all because, nope, not give you any of them. All because God loves hilarious generosity. There are seven things that God loves. Seven things that God loves. We hear a lot about the things that God hates, but there are seven things that God loves that he will cause an overflow of generosity to come into your life. He will cause an overflow of blessing. Now let's do what I said and let's get back because I have a revelation I want to share with you today and I can't wait to share it. Okay, verse 7, 61:7. Instead of shame and dishonor, you will enjoy a double share of honor. A double share of honor. You will possess a double portion of prosperity in your land. And everlasting joy will be yours. A double portion. A double portion. Okay, so instead of me just thinking I know what double means, I went and looked it up. Oh, I feel sorry for Dean and David. They're going to miss this. They're going to miss this. But because I love them so much, I'll try. If y'all give me permission, I'll share it next week again. If y'all give me permission. Okay. Okay, so I looked up the word double. Don't just assume. Don't be a surface reader. Dig. Okay, so I went to the Hebrew, of course, because this is the Old Testament. It's Mishnah. M-I-S-H-N-E-H. Mishnah. Means double. It's number 4932. Oh, are y'all ready for this? No, you are not ready for this. Trust me, you are not ready for this. But you're going to be so blessed. You are going to be so blessed. It means a repetition. Mm-hmm. To repeat something. That makes sense, a double. Yeah, repetition. Mm-hmm. It means a duplicate. Mm-hmm. Makes sense, right? A duplicate. Yes. It means a copy of a document. Mm-hmm. Woo! A copy of a document. Okay? It means second in rank. Second in rank. Order. Age. Or quality. Oh, I was a second born. This is a good time to be the second born. This is a good time. Oh my God, what? Oh my God, it's a good time. It's a good day to be the second born. We got any second born in here?
Yeah.
Woo! Glory, it's a good, glory to God, it's a good day to be second born. But that's okay, all of us are spiritually second born. I'm gonna prove it to you.
That's the way I was looking.
I'm gonna prove it to you. Who's the first fruits of God? Who's the firstborn of God? Who's the one and only? Jesus.
Okay.
Yeah. And everyone that's born again becomes
second.
The second. Okay. You got to have a first. You got to have a second before you can have a first.
Mm-hmm.
You can't have a first if there's not a second. Okay. He's the one and only Son of God. The firstborn. Okay, let me go back because I get excited and I got to build a case here. Glory to God. I am building a case. A repetition. That Mishnah, double, 49:32. A repetition. A duplicate. A copy of a document. A copy of a document. Second in rank, order, age, or quality. Second in quality. It comes from another word. This Mishnah has a root word, number 8138. Okay? It's Shanah. S-H-A-W hyphen N-A-W. Emphasis on the N-A-W. Shanah. To fold. To duplicate. Some of you are already seeing it. I can feel the light coming on. I feel the heat from the light coming on. To fold. To duplicate. By implication, to transmute. You know what you do when you transmute something? You pass it from one place to the other. You transmute. You transmute. To change. It means more than that. It means to change from one nature to the other. To transmute, to change from one nature or substance or form to another form. To transmute means to change from one substance to another substance, to change from one nature to another nature, to change from one substance to another substance. Here's an example. We transmute water, the power of water, to give us electricity.
Yes.
That's a transmutation. That's the transmuting of the power of water to produce the power of energy. So here's the fresh bread. Here's the fresh bread. Here's the example the Lord gave me. When the prophet says here, instead of shame and dishonor, you will enjoy a double share of honor. I've given you a double share. I have given you a double share of honor. You will possess a double portion of prosperity. Double. Okay. Here's an original. Here's an original piece of cloth. The Holy Spirit help me. I fold it. You have a duplicate.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I fold it again. You have a duplicate. This is a duplicate. This duplicate is a true copy. Why is it a true copy? Why is this a true copy? It's not the original. I'm about to get hot up here. It's not the original, but it's a true copy. What did I say to you right here? A copy of a document.
It stays the same.
Jesus Christ.
I'm joshing. You're fine. Okay. Why is it a true copy? Why? Why is it a true copy?
Never change.
Why is it a true copy? Because underneath that copy is the original. Okay. This is Christ. He's the original. He's the first born of God. Every time someone gets born again, he makes a copy of himself in the earth.
Yeah, got it.
Another person gets born again, he makes a copy of himself in the earth. Born again, here's another copy. This is a copy. It's just as true
as the original.
It's just as true as the original. It's a true certified copy. It is a true certified copy.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Woo!
Because in the copy abides the original.
The original. Mm.
Mm. Folded. Mm. Folded. Mm-hmm. Folded.
Amen.
Folded. God, keep on. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes. Okay. Mm. Let me get it back a little more even here. So folded. Here's the copy. Here's the true certified copy. Here's the true certified copy. So this is what happens. Every time I choose, when I choose to place myself under the authority of His Word, to listen to His voice, to hear Holy Spirit, everything that's centered around what God is, to hear His voice, be obedient to His Word, follow His instruction, love justice, love mercy, walk humbly with God. Every time I put myself in a position to know Him, and I open myself up to Him, and I open myself up more to Him, and I open myself up more to His Word, and I open myself up fully to Him, then all anyone ever sees is the original. All anyone ever sees is the original. But as long as I choose to stay folded, I'm a true copy. He says I'm born again by His blood. He says I'm a true copy. But if I just stay and know I'm a true copy, but don't allow myself to be unfolded by the power of His Word and changed by the power of His Word, then nobody ever sees the original. They're not supposed to just see us. They're supposed to see the original. They're supposed to see the what is the double portion?
The changed nature.
The double portion. The double portion is that I have received His life. I have received His nature. I have received a double portion of honor. Because the honor the Father has bestowed upon Him, He has bestowed upon me. The prosperity and the success that God has bestowed upon the Son, He has bestowed it upon me.
Amen.
The joy the Son experiences that God has bestowed it upon me.
Amen.
I shall receive a double portion.
Amen.
Oh my God. Because God has made me. No wonder the psalmist said, Lord, you are my portion. You are my inheritance. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. I have a good reward for my labor. You know why? Because you know that you're the double portion. You are the double portion. You are the copy. You are a copy of the original document. Who is the original document?
Jesus.
You are a copy. You are a true certified copy of the original document.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Glory to God.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm second in rank and honor. I'm the second born. I'm the double portion. You will enjoy a double share of honor because you're a copy of the original. Glory to God.
Amen.
I know there's some hand raised, but there's three things that open our eyes to see the double in our life. Now I'm going to get to the hands raised. I saw them. There are three things that will open our eyes to see the double. The double honor. You know, I can know through this word that I am these things, but unless my eyes are open to see and to really see inside who I am, you know, when you really see inside and you really know who you are, that you are a true copy of the original, you are a true copy. God, we don't get it. We really don't know it. We really don't get it. We will walk in Jesus.
Yes.
We really don't get it. We really don't get it. We really don't understand it. You are walking, God. You know, there are things in the spirit realm that our eyes are not even open to, that we don't even know and realize. There are angels and spiritual beings all around us, and they see us as a true copy of the original. But we don't even see ourselves like that.
Amen.
We don't see ourselves, but I can speak to this. And have faith in my heart and believe God, and it shall come to pass. That I can say, mountain be moved. I can walk into a place. Darkness go. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. We need eye salve. We need eye salve. Because they think we can see, but we really can't see. God, open my eyes. Apostle Paul said that God took him into the heavens, and he saw things that wasn't lawful for men to even say on earth.
Mm.
They'd crucify you if you said what you saw in heaven. But he wrote it down.
Mm-hmm.
God, open our eyes to see the things around us. What is right up there? What is right up there in that sky that I can't, right now, can't even see? And the atmosphere around me that I can't even see. Oh my God, open my spiritual eyes.
Amen.
Isn't that what the prophet said? Lord, open the eyes of the servants. He can see there's more with us than are against us.
Yeah.
Okay, three things here, and I promise I'll get to those that have their hand raised. Three things that I believe that give us eyes to see, and they're based on what Jesus did when he fed the 5,000 with the two fish and five loaves. First thing to see, dedicate to him what you have. Dedicate to him what you have. God, I'm yours. Lord, I dedicate myself to you. God, everything I have, and you better mean it when you say it.
Mm-hmm.
You, if you're not the place where you can say it, then don't say it. God, I dedicate all that I am to you. Lord, everything that I have, I dedicate it to you. I ask you to sanctify it and set apart. It's dedicated to you, like Jesus did with the fish, right?
Mm-hmm.
Dedicate what you have to him, what you have. Second, be thankful. Be thankful for what he's already done. Brag about God. Be thankful for what he's already done. Isn't that what Jesus did?
Mm-hmm.
He lifted it up. He gave thanks to God. Third key. The third thing here. Is to have eyes to see.
Yes.
That's the third key. To pray and ask God. God, Holy Spirit, give me eyes to see. Give me eyes to see. Give me spiritual eyes to see. Not with the natural, but what's really going on here. What really is. What do I need to see right now in my life? How do I need to move in this direction? How am I blinded that I need eyesight? I really need to see. Three things that will help us to recognize the overflow. Is that what Jesus did? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. He dedicated to God. He was thankful. And he, with wide open eyes, he gazed. And he saw the overflow. He saw it. He experienced it. He saw it. Amen. Okay, I saw that some hands were raised, so I'm going to give you a chance to share. As long as you're going to stay on track and on focus for what we're talking about, okay? If you're going to run off somewhere in a different direction. Okay, who's got something they want to share?
When you started talking about the original copy,
mm-hmm.
It reminded me at the shop, okay, when we get on the copy machine,
mm-hmm.
we have to have an original to put on the glass.
That's right.
If we do not put original on glass and we just let the copy machine run through, it just comes out a big black blob on the paper.
Mm.
So when we put the original on the glass to copy it, it has to be in the exact position for it to come out right on the paper.
Wow.
You cannot put it up a little higher and expect it to come out on the paper, or down low and come out on the paper. It has to be in the exact position. To come out on the paper to copy. And you can't copy anything without original. If we don't have one,
mm-hmm.
that's why Carmen has to go on the computer mm-hmm. and make original. So there's not one mm-hmm. there.
That's what makes it a true copy.
A true copy.
Certified
yeah,
copy.
But you have to have the original.
Yeah.
But you have to. The main thing is you have to be in the right position
mm-hmm.
on the copy machine in order for it to come out the way
glory
the copy should
God.
Be, the way God wants you to be.
That's good.
Another thing, you were talking about the seven promises.
Mm-hmm.
I think in 1 Peter.
No, that's not them.
That's not them.
You can wait the next week. That's not them. That's not them.
Okay,
that's
well,
not them.
I'm
coming back. Yeah. Go ahead. you hold that for next week, Robert.
Okay.
I promise next week you can share that.
That's why John the Baptist said, I must decrease.
Decrease. Mm-hmm.
While Christ increased.
That's right.
So he's saying he recognized the original.
Mm-hmm.
And he was saying,
I'm not,
the original
wow.
has to come
that's right.
forth.
That's right.
And I decrease.
Wow. That's good. That's good. Anybody else? I know Carmen had her hand raised.
Again, it's been said in past years, and so it is now, and the Lord's bringing this afresh today,
mm-hmm.
is that, and taking it afresh today with the updated ingredients, we can really see why and how the enemy fights so hard, because he sees all these Jesuses.
Mm-hmm.
Thought it was only
true
one
copies.
Of you. There are more.
Mm-hmm.
And then it reminded me that just as it is in the earth, it had to be in heaven. If it's here in earth,
mm-hmm.
it had to be in heaven, if it's good.
Mm-hmm.
So it reminded me that Holy Spirit is the notary.
Wow.
He's in earth, for important papers, you have to get it notarized.
That's right. It has to have a seal on it.
So it says it mm-hmm. has to have the notary seal,
mm-hmm.
and it has to be signed by the person that is allocuting that it is a true copy.
That's right.
So Holy Spirit said that he sealed us. So in the spirit realm, the angels and the demonic forces and Satan himself sees the mark.
They see the mark.
They see the notary seal of Holy Spirit.
Yes, that's right. Because we've been sealed. We had the earnest
portion
of the down payment. We've been sealed.
It's been sealed.
It's not just sitting there pressed into
the paper. That's right. Glory to God.
It's pressed.
It's marked.
It's marked.
It's definitely. Yes. It's definitely. It can't be erased.
You can't erase it.
You can't erase it.
No.
It's something to share.
Yeah, I want to say, like, when you was talking about the double, and it's mm-hmm. more than a double.
It's more than twice, yeah.
Right. You have to look at it exponentially.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Like, it's like when a thief has been found out, mm-hmm. he has to give back seven times more than he's taken. I always look at it that he's got to give back seven times, times seven times, times seven times, times seven times. And that's the same way you look at with this. Hey, God
mm-hmm.
bless you exponentially.
Yes.
If we sow one seed of corn,
mm-hmm.
one stalk comes up,
mm-hmm.
but you got maybe like 3-4 ears
uh-huh.
on that stalk.
Mm-hmm.
On one ear
mm-hmm.
is multiple seeds. That's almost countless.
Uh-huh.
So whatever if we sow $1,
uh-huh.
we should get back exponentially.
Exponentially, that's right.
So, and that puts us in that overflow
mm-hmm.
of how we can help not just ourselves, but somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And in this, and I learned a lot in the cell of my home
mm-hmm.
that, God don't want us in debt.
Mm-mm.
And as God, I wish I could pay cash for my next home.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to be in a place
mm-hmm.
where when I hear someone buying a home,
mm-hmm.
I can help.
That's
them.
Right. That is right. That is right. And that comes to the place, too, that you know you're blessed by God, but you're satisfied.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't have to. It's a mixture.
It's the content.
Yeah. Yeah. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know you're blessed by God. You don't have to prove it by
mm-hmm.
where you live or what you drive or what you wear.
Mm-hmm.
You know you're blessed by God. And you're blessed by God when you are able to bless someone else.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you know you're blessed by God. Mm-hmm. Not when you're in so much of a bondage that you can't bless somebody. Mm-hmm. But you can. We can all start with what we have, right?
Right.
There's no amount that's insignificant with God.
Exactly.
No amount whatsoever. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you know, a lot of people, that's not how the world looks at it. Mm-hmm. The world looks at it that if I sell this house, it's because I'm supposed to get something better, bigger, or better. Mm-hmm. Or if I get out of debt, mm-hmm. it's so I can go buy something else. Mm-hmm. Don't look at, but that's not how God's people are supposed to look at it. Mm-hmm. If we get out of debt, mm-hmm. we're out of debt in something, we should stay out of debt mm-hmm. in it mm-hmm. so that we can help others.
Yes.
That truly, because of situations beyond their control maybe, or truly have a repentant heart toward God, help them to get out of debt and see mm-hmm. the turnaround and change in them. Mm-hmm. Amen. I agree with you. You'll be able
when
to take
you say
cash.
Help others, there's other help too, not only financial help, but there's wisdom. Mm-hmm. Where you can teach others how you did it.
That's true too.
You know, because sometimes we can't always give financially, but mm-hmm. we can give what we know.
That's right. We can give the knowledge to help them.
Yeah.
Yes, we can
that's
give.
What David said in Psalms, he said, "Discernment and common sense will gain more wisdom."
Mm. Wow. Anyone else? Any comment or about what we just studied? Hallelujah. Good. Praise God. Amen.